roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz here reporting for duty on a Thursday. Can't wait to talk some MMA with you guys. We got results from last night, one on TNT3. And we're going to preview PFL 2021 Week 1, which takes off tomorrow. Of course, the UFC in action with UFC 261 on Saturday. Don't forget, Goz and I are hosting a watch-along on Saturday here on Sportscaster. UFC 261 here on Sportscaster. Goz and I can't say it enough, won't say it enough times. And, of course, it'll also be on our social media follow. So if you see that, tweet it, retweet it, share it, whatever you got to do. Let's create a big party on Saturday night. For Usman versus Masvidal, Shevchenko versus Andrade, and we got Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas, along with some really, really good fights on that main card. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll also go over the latest news nuggets. It's going to be a fun show. Guess what? I'm going to be dipping in and out as well. Goz may have to take the wheel at some point. All right, here we go. MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, April 22nd. So let's get it out of the way, man. One on TNT3, they've really, really cleaned things up in terms of audio, the studio feel, the ghost town feel, you know, the empty feeling that we kind of had with week one, along with the results of the shocking upset of the GOAT Demetrius Johnson and, of course, Eddie Alvarez's disqualification. Dad and I sat here and watched the two fights that took place last night. We had a good time, man. That opening bout went the distance. Them young kids were hitting each other hard, you know, and, of course, with their rule set of judge the whole fight. You don't have to worry about 10-9, this, that. How did you have it? How did you score it? You just watch the fight and then go, who would you not rather be, you know, at the end of the fight? Who got their ass kicked? So that was pretty cool. And of course, Hands of Stone, John Lineker came in there, did his thing right at the end of round one. But what were your thoughts on one TNT3 last night?
So I made a big blunder last night. I turn off my phone because I have to watch it a little later. And I always run into some kind of spoiler. And for some reason, it's been set to tape or to record, and it didn't record. So I had to watch it live, just the last part I was able to catch, but I wasn't able to go back to the beginning. Yeah. But definitely some improvements. And I mean, how do you hate on the results of the main event? You know, there's no questions to be asked at the end of all that. You just know one guy's badass and it sets up. I love storytelling in MMA. This sets up a storytelling moment.
Yeah, exactly. So Yuya Wakamatsu defeated Reese McLaren. That one, I just see these young kids. I didn't even give out their names, but that was a fight that was contested at 135 pounds. That was the co-main event. And yes, John Lineker taking care of Troy Worthen. Right as Rich Franklin was telling us, you know, Worthen's actually setting some things up. This thing's getting interesting. Boom! That's when Lineker landed that shot on him, which half turned out his lights. It's almost like he was flickering. And then, of course, he comes in with a big old right hand that completely iced the guy. That's what John Lineker does. You know, that wasn't a shocker at all. And boy, can that guy throw, man. I don't know if it's going back to the production or what. I don't know if it's the good mics over at One and TNT. I'm sure they're partnering up, helping each other to deliver the best product possible. But even those body shots sounded lethal.
Mm-hmm. And he's one of the best at that. You know, he goes to the body really, really well. But when you look at John Lineker, he's one of the guys that is just, I think it was Mark Lehman that used to always say, try and get the biggest frame at the smallest weight class. And John is just one of those guys that looks so compact and so full. He's like a little tank and he just comes at you and throwing everything he's got. And you're right. He goes to the head. He goes to the body. That's what I think is just so tough about his attack, as it can come from any angle. The only thing I think, if I were fighting him, I would just try and take them later and just hope that gas tank goes away. But you have to survive this tornado before you get to that.
Yeah. Well, he was like a minus 500, 600 favorite. So it was interesting for a while. It's not like the other guy, Worthen. Let me see if I got his name right. Worthen, right? Yeah, Worthen. It's not like he wasn't utilizing a few different types of skills. He was feinting some shots, you know, just casting some doubt on Lineker of, hey, this is what I bring to the table. I'm not just going to kickbox with you for the next 15 minutes. So I agreed with Rich Franklin's assessment of just a couple of the things he was doing was having a little bit of success. And let's face it, Lineker is a category F5 hurricane or tornado or whatever in round one. But then, although he'll always carry heavy hands, it seems to diminish a little bit as the fight progresses, you know? And I think that's what Worthen was counting on. So it would have been interesting to see if we could get into the second round just to see if the tables would turn at all, you know? But both fights were really, really fun, man. I enjoyed it. And even going back to the opening bout with Wakamatsu and McLaren, did you see how many times each guy was either mounted or in a dominant position, then the bottom guy would sweep? I mean, the scrambles that they had, the pace that they had was really something else.
What I'm liking about ONE Championship is I'm trying to watch it through like casual eyes, maybe a guy that watches pro wrestling and sticks around. And what I like that they've been able to do is they've been able to end every card kind of on a high note, something that builds to the next one that makes you want to tune in. And you're not dedicating, you know, 8 hours of your day. Not that I have a problem with that, but it's just kind of like a quick fix, man. You just go in, you watch a couple fights, you're done. You're only gone for like an hour and a half sometimes, and you're in and out. I love it, dude.
And I don't know if it's me or not, but I didn't get to see Nicky Holson versus John Wayne Parr. I wanted to see that. The winner was Holson. Second round TKO stoppage there. The Muay Thai has definitely added something to the broadcast that ONE has had on TNT. So I kind of was looking forward to that. And I don't know if we just didn't tape well or what, but we wound up not finding it. So I can live with it because, like I say, I'm there for the MMA. The Muay Thai is just a bonus. And it's been cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm surprised that those fights go a little longer. I thought they would end really quick with them tiny gloves. I just, you know, in Muay Thai, you don't really get as much points for punches as you do in mixed martial arts. But they still throw the hell out of them, you know. But I just thought with the smaller gloves, these fights would be over in like seconds, minutes.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, listen, we do have a guest today. It's Calvin Cater. I failed to mention him. 12:40 p.m. Eastern, 9:40 a.m. Pacific. Still got a few minutes before we get to him. So we'll finish up with strong UFC talk. But let's get to PFL 2021 Week 1. It debuts tomorrow on ESPN Plus and ESPN2. The main card on ESPN2, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Brendan Lochnane versus Shaman Marias. Lance Palmer versus Bubba Jenkins. Movlid Kaibulayev versus Lazar Stojanovic, Natan Schultz versus Marcin Held, and Anthony Pettis versus Clay Collard. On the undercard, you got some pretty good fighters as well. Chris Wade, Tyler Diamond, remember him from Tough? So it should be fun. You got to tune into the whole thing on ESPN2 and then finish things up on ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus starts things off at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. So check it out. Pettis, man, just him on Junkie, him on the posters, him on social media. It's not just him, goes, but him and Willis and Verdum and OAN and you know, and of course the stars that they've created. It's really, really getting me pumped up, more pumped up for PFL than I thought, just because PFL was coming along after Bellator made their splash, after ONE on TNT made their splash, and of course the UFC is just a freight train. But I'm actually setting the time aside to read the stories, get pumped up about the fights, and then of course tune in tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm guessing maybe it's just because we had to wait so long, but maybe. I'm kind of foaming to see this. Like, I mean, granted, in doing so, we missed a lot of fights, but at the same time, I think it's generated so much interest, and you want it to come back. So, because Bellator hasn't been bad lately, you know, they've kind of made a little bit of a comeback. And some of these smaller organizations, the CFFCs, they've had some good cards. And you add in what ONE Championship is doing. The thing with PFL this season is it's all going to be about those free agent signings, right? You want to see some of those names really do some stuff. And for crying out loud, like Clarissa Shields, when did you ever think you'd see her fighting LA? You're going to see them. So they did a really good job of kind of just giving you this big tease coming in. And now we finally get to see it. And I'm excited. I'm really, really stoked for PFL.
It's a nice 1-2 punch when you can headline with Pettis on week one, Rory McDonald in week two, and then sprinkle in the free agent signings. Great job by PFL. And that's considering they took a whole year off, you know, but they recharged nicely. Their investments, you know, the investment people are backing them nicely. And somehow they remained relevant with a whole, really, by the time they fight, almost a year and a half. Because our last fight was December 31st, 2019. All of 2020, they're off because they had the off season and then the pandemic. And then, of course, now they're starting things off here at the end of April. So we'll say a full 12 and 4, 16 months, not 18, but 16 months. But here they are. And like I say, I'm pretty pumped. I'm a hardcore. And usually how I'm feeling is what others are feeling because others are hardcore like myself. Hopefully the casual audience tunes in to ESPN2. But I was telling Dad yesterday, I'm starting to get used to one on TNT on Wednesdays. Of course, that's not always going to be the case. And then PFL, Bellator on Showtime. Dude, 2021 is lit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of options. And again, like, you know, we talked about Invicta. They got a new deal. CFFC's around, LFA. I mean, there are a lot of options if you're a combat sports fan. And actually, you know what? If you're an MMA fan. If you're a combat sports fan and now you throw in some of the boxing matches that are going to be coming up and, you know, any other lion fight that you like to watch, there's plenty to do as a mixed martial arts fan.
Yeah, and sprinkle in your thrillers, you know, things like that, bare knuckle. It's, Oh, man, and I was just starting to watch a little baseball. I know the Dodgers were off to a 13-4 start. Keeping an eye on hockey. I've been betting a little bit of hockey. There's a few teams that, like the Hurricanes, the Panthers, the Lightning, the Golden Knights, they score, man. So the puck line makes things interesting. But I just don't know if there's enough time in the day. You know, something's got to go. So we'll see. It's never going to be football. It's never going to be basketball. It's never going to be soccer. So I might have to squeeze out NHL and baseball again or just – I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. That's why when some people even come up to me and say NASCAR and golf, I'm like, Heisman, man, Heisman Trophy. Get out of here. Who's got time for that? Too much. Mucho.
I can be entertained by both of them. Golf just makes me mad because I can't put those guys on the same level as all the other athletes. Like, I just feel like, whatever, call them an athlete, that's fine. But there's definitely a different level to what they do versus what you're seeing LeBron James doing, preparing for a season.
At that point, couldn't some guy that you know, the log rollers, how they – what do they call it when they're on the log and they're just
– the barrel roll?
Well, that, I guess. I mean, or chopping. I mean, that's a skill. That's how I see golf. Oh, okay, so you swing – and you aim for that. Well, same thing. How quick can you chop? How long can you log roll? Bowling, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know that too much athleticism is being used. It seems more like skill. Shooting, you know, billiards or archery. But some of them are called sports. But I'm telling you, man, I think there's got to be a packed stadium, a ball being thrown around, something being, you know, scored, cheerleaders. That's a sport.
Yeah, no, I agree. But like NASCAR, I get it. I get that there's preparation. And I can be entertained by NASCAR, but you can't get me to sit through a whole race. I just can't do it. If I'm there, okay. But if I'm at home, there's way too much going on for me to just sit there and watch them. I can't do
it. The last 20 laps, I'll give you that. The last six holes of a golf tournament. Oh, okay, who's walking up? Bubba Wall. Oh, not Bubba Walls, but it was a white guy named Bubba. That guy and Tiger Woods. Oh, okay, yeah. Let's see how they do, you know. But I don't know. That said, I've never been to a NASCAR event, I don't believe. I've been to IndyCar. I would like to go to one in Vegas one day, and I wouldn't mind to go into one big major. But that's more like a sports bucket list that I created years ago. So maybe for that weekend, you would see me, you know, TaylorMade or whatever these brands are that they have. A little shark right here on my shirt. Huh?
What would you wear?
I don't know. Maybe I'd wear the What are those pants that Payne Stewart used to wear? They're like stirrup with not stirrups. They
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, maybe I'd wear something like that. No, I'm just kidding. I
oh,
I'm a sweaty bastard, dude. So you know, probably me with if I can wear shorts, great. But shorts and just a collared polo and my glasses and
I thought you were talking about NASCAR. NASCAR. Oh, I'd probably wear a big M&M shirt, maybe some skull. I think that the Tide card or Tide. The Holy card was always really cool.
Tide or
Cheerios.
Just one of the oiled brands like Quaker State, if they're still around, or I don't know. I was gonna say AMC. Isn't there one called what are the oiled brands that are now? RC, not a drink. I forget.
Hold on. Pennzoil.
I can't believe I pulled Quaker State out of my ass. I don't even know if they're still around. But anyway, all right, we're wasting time. PFL, folks, you got to check it out. We interviewed Curtis Millender, and I think that's what really, really got me going. He's facing Rory McDonald the following week, so I'm pretty pumped up about that. And then, like I say, the free agent signings and the talent that they've been able to cultivate. I think I saw Vinny Maggs back on the list, and I thought he was out of the PFL, but he's in the PFL, so that's good too. Vinny from Extreme Couture. But anyway, so check out the situation here goes is we have internet, but at any point, I could be out. Literally, you'll just see a screen go blank, and that's when I guess it's picture like we're in a plane and the pilot passes out. And so you got to move over from the co-pilot chair to the pilot chair and fly the plane.
Until it can happen at any second?
Huh?
It can happen at any second.
At any second. You want to know something funny, too? This was supposed to happen yesterday. And they said, we fixed it remotely. I'm like, well, how come our internet's not fast? Oh, our bad. We'll send a tech today. Oh, so I had to stay an extra day. I gave Dad strict instructions. When the gentleman comes, don't talk to him because you're going to slow him down. I'm going to see if he can finish before the show starts. Right? I clearly said that. And then I threw Mom under the bus just to not make Dad look like I was picking on him. I go, Mom, don't feed him breakfast. Dad, don't ask him questions. And so Dad didn't think I was picking on him, right?
Right.
Of course, Mom wasn't going to offer him breakfast or anything like that. But, you know, Dad's like, where are you from? Well, you want a water? How many of these houses do you do per day? He's just very curious, right? Mm-hmm. So then I hear Dad go, hey, I think the guy pulled up. I'm like, cool, because he pulled up around 8:30, and I thought we'd have some time. And so I was kind of relocating my laptop and things like that, and then all of a sudden, what's Dad doing? He's out there by the van talking to the guy, and you know, the guy can't even pull out his tools. He can't even pull out his tools because he's answering questions. So I had to run out there and go, hey, how you doing? Yeah, come on in. Let's go. So we're trying to get it done as quick as possible. But
I'll tell you something. This
is a whole rant in itself. We thought the whole time this router was here in the kitchen, and it's actually in the garage. It's been a mess.
So I'll tell you something, and this may make you feel good about yourself. I don't know. But everything you just said, I thought about. And I was going to tell you, make sure you tell Dad not to ask the guy where he's from, how many times, because he's going to slow him down. And then I was going to tell you to tell Mom, don't offer him food or water or the bathroom or anything like that. I was going to say it. But then I go, you know what? He knows. And I just let it go. And I'm so happy that you brought it up, because now I feel good. Because, yeah.
I can hear Dad's voice, too. I can hear him right now. They're in the garage, and I can hear him, you know. And I'm sure the guy's like, you know, probably pulling wire and trying to do this. And, yeah, okay. Yeah, I've been doing this 8 years. Yeah, you know, it's fun. And it's just – that's just the way he is. He likes to talk to people. So, who knows? Maybe he's actually keeping me afloat longer. Maybe it's working in our favor now that I think about it.
I'd rather you go out now and not during the interview. So I'm hoping this happens soon.
Well, Calvin Kattar's really easy to talk to, that's for sure. I'm sure Lakers Celtic talk alone, which they got our number last without LeBron and AD. But I'm sure that alone will take 5-10 minutes. But Calvin's fought since the Holloway fight, and I don't think anybody wants him to fight, you know, and especially with the whole division slowing down because of Volkanovski's coronavirus bout. Or about with coronavirus, I should say, and now him and Ortega being tied down to tough. It's like the division's kind of like in some sort of a hole, you know? The other key figures, like a Zabit, well, he already fought him. Max Holloway, he just fought him as well. And so Cater now doesn't have to answer questions, I don't believe, about when you're going to fight for the title next. Just basically, when will you be ready to fight? Who do you think you might want to tangle with? How do you see the division? You know, so I think it'll be a casual conversation. But I've always liked Calvin Swag. He's entertaining. He's a good dude, you know, so I'm really looking forward to talking to him. Hopefully I can be a part of it, even if it's via phone.
I want to talk a little bit about our watch along this weekend. So I have been a mad scientist, and I've come up with some bells and whistles for this thing that I think you guys are really, really going to dig. So if you already like our watch alongs, this is going to be a watch along. Don't call USADA because we're going to get pinched. It's going to be on next level. I think it's going to be so much fun, and there's so many cool little gizmos and gadgets that we're going to be adding to this broadcast. So definitely tune in on Sportscaster, our channel. I know you guys hear, maybe you hear that and you go, dude, I don't know what this is. I don't want another password. You don't need none of that. All you do is just go to the website and click, and you're there. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to do anything. But I guarantee you're going to like the website. You're probably going to stick around and maybe even create your own channel. But it's the easiest things, guys. And if you're listening to me talk right now on our podcast version of the show, just remember, you could be watching the video of us. So you can see Calvin Cater. You can see George. You could see myself. You could probably see my mom and dad because they love to walk through the camera. So at some point, you'll see them too. You could see Max the dog. But, and I know mom's seething right now because she's getting
roasted. She did. She said, I heard that. But she hasn't walked through today at all.
She did it yesterday.
Dad's the most guilty one of doing that, I believe, since I've been here. By the way, doesn't it look like you're kind of at a barbershop with the brick and the lights and the mirror? It kind of looks like you're a barber or something like that. Or
we could be. Huh? I was just talking to listener Sam Alljam from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and I was telling him about our cousin Antonio and the time that I took him to get a haircut, and there was a guy that actually used two scissors. It was like Edward Scissorhands. He had one in each hand, and he was going like this. And I remember Antonio couldn't even move because he was going so quick. But then he would do that Benihana thing where he would pull back and he would like bang the scissors, I guess, to get the hair to come off. And then he'd just go right back in. And he did a haircut, dude, in about 3 minutes. I couldn't believe how fast it was. I could see our cousin through the mirror kind of giving me a look like, what the fuck is going on? I had never seen that guy before, so it was all new to me. But we were dying, man. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen someone cut hair with two hands.
I remember you told me that story. And one day when I was sitting there with Jimmy Scissors, and I go, hey, didn't you used to use two scissors? He goes, no, why would I do that? And I go, I could have sworn either Ghost said you did it or you used to do it or I don't know, you know. And you're right, maybe I'm thinking of something else. He goes, no, we're good, you know. He goes, I've always used one and that's my style. But I knew that story existed. I just didn't know who it was. So it must have been another guy. It wasn't Jimmy Scissors.
No, it was Tony's Barbershop back when Mommy used to have the travel agency.
Oh, I went to that guy.
Yeah. So he had like three or four other guys that worked with him. And there was one guy that I had never seen before. And it just, that's the guy he got. And as soon as he started, we were both kind of like, oh my God, what is this? But it was just so funny to see how paralyzed he was the whole time because he can't move. Like if somebody's cutting your hair on this side, you can kind of like look this way or whatever. But when somebody's on both sides clipping and you're hearing that, and fuck, that must have been a nightmare.
Yeah. All right. So now let's talk about, I guess we should give our final thoughts on these fights. Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal. Masvidal swears it's going to be different. He had more time to prepare. He had more time for cardio. He had more time for the make it a less savage of a weight cut. You know, you're not flying all halfway around the world and trying to drop 20 pounds, I think is what he said. So it's not like Masvidal hasn't made adjustments against certain types of fight. I really expect this fight to be a little bit more competitive. If I fell into a coma and you woke me up and said, Usman won, I'd probably go, was it 50-45? Kind of like same thing. Just take him down or hold him up against the fence. That's it. And then, of course, if he told me Masvidal won, I wouldn't think it'd be a decision. I'd probably think, oh, wow, he must have caught him. Not subbed him, just caught him. But if you also told me Usman caught Masvidal, that wouldn't shock me. Usman's, I think, developed a formidable kickboxing game. He did break Colby Covington's jaw. So I don't know. I think Masvidal's a live dog. I think the odds are too much in Usman's favor. I think this fight's going to be different. If you had a gun to my head, I would probably bet Usman. But I think Masvidal is going to find a way to make this interesting, and I think he has a shot to win the fight. And you know I love me some underdogs, so that's kind of how I'm feeling. I think it's going to be a great, great main event. May the best man win, and if Masvidal wins, look out, man. You might be looking at not a changing of the guard, because I think McGregor still has incredible power, but I think Masvidal might be way closer as the number two guy, you know, to being the superstar of the UFC. So we'll see, you know, because now he'd have the BMF and a welterweight bout along with all that street swag and the popularity he carries now. But make no mistake, Kamaru Usman would have a fair stake in saying, well, we still got to do the trilogy, you know? So I don't know. I get excited thinking about all these different possibilities. And of course, if Conor takes another loss, then I think Masvidal could have a shot at being the number one guy. I mean, everyone's run is over, but McGregor's just so special, and he's so tremendously, you know, his social media reach is incredible. People get so fired up about his fights that he can come back so quick. Imagine if McGregor beats Poirier, the distance he'll have between him and every other fighter in terms of power. So just that fight alone's got me thinking, has got given me goosebumps in all the directions it can go. And speaking of Colby Covington, who competed very, very well in that fight versus Usman before getting his jaw broken and the fight ending prematurely in his eyes, may have played his cards right. He may get the shot next against the winner of Usman and Masvidal, at least according to Dana White. I mean, it almost sounds like I should say he will get it, but I've known not to say that because anything can happen in the sport. The weirdest results as of late, you know, with disqualifications and controversies, you just got to let the fight play out, and then we can all run our mouths on Saturday night, Sunday, and Monday as to what the UFC should do next or whatever. But it does look like Colby, if we have a clear finisher and there's no need for the trilogy bout right away, if it's Masvidal winning, he could be next, man. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I guess I'll start there and work my way backwards. But with Colby, it was completely shocking because I felt like along the way, I thought he kind of played his hands wrong. He definitely pissed off Dana White quite a few times. So I thought they were going to try and maybe make his life a little difficult. Instead, it seems like all this is going to work. And I guess what it really comes down to is probably like, depending on what Usman looks like, really like Colby's the only one that's really tested him, you know, taken rounds from him. So that could be an interesting matchup. And the UFC, if they do it, okay. I really wasn't expecting it. But forecasting Jorge Masvidal is a lot of fun. And when you think about what he's been through, we have to look at the last fight, right? Obviously, it was short notice. We all get that. But there was a lot involved in that short notice. Like, I mean, he had to, like, fly to Italy first and then go to Abu Dhabi. I mean, that was cool. Yeah, then he had to, like, quarantine out there.
And he put a slice of pizza away. That was funny.
Yeah, like, that's pretty brutal what he had to go through. So I do give him credit in those regards. I think where people are a little bit more critical of Jorge Masvidal is it's not like he gave us a great first round, a great second round, and then just kind of died off. Usman kind of had his way with the wrestling from the get-go, right? Even when he was fresh. So I think that's where that argument just kind of balances out a little bit. However, a lot of time has gone by, okay, where a guy like Jorge Masvidal that has that kind of striking can just dedicate everything to wrestling, right? He can do 90% wrestling and 10% striking, and his striking's not going to change. It's still going to be pretty much on point. I believe that he did that, and I believe that he has the resources at American Top Team to do that. The one thing about Jorge Masvidal is he is a gangster, man. And when he says something, I tend to believe him. Mm-hmm. And he just has this different confidence, this different swag to him that's leading me to believe that I think this fight will go a little different. I'm not saying Jorge's going to win, but I think he's going to do a lot better. But I also do think that he could do a lot of things that Colby Covington did in his fight, so long as he can get that wrestling defense going. You know, he's got to get that going.
And the cardio. The cardio's there, then he's definitely going to be a lot more competitive.
Right. So I wasn't looking forward to this fight at all. To me, it was just kind of like we're reheating the same thing. But the more and more I've heard from both guys, and I love Kamaru Usman. I think he's a great fighter. I think people need to give him more attention. I think he's very, very likable, and he doesn't get that credit. But I do think this fight will be tougher for him.
Yeah, no doubt. This will be his fourth title defense, if I'm not mistaken. So he's definitely, you know, because he defended against Covington, Masvidal, and Burns. So that's three. Yeah, this would be his fourth. And if he can do this one, he'll tie Tyron Woodley, who I believe had four. And then you start getting in. I think Miletic had four as well. But I was following Karen Bryant, and she was talking about who's on the Mount Rushmore of welterweights. And I think it's pretty easy. In no particular order, George St. Pierre, Matt Hughes, Tyron Woodley, and Kamaru Usman. Though you'd have to look and see and make sure you're not leaving Miletic out. But he came in such an early era, even earlier than Hughes. Who knows if his wins are as respected as some of these guys, because that division's just always been stacked. But we'll see on Saturday. Again, Goz and I are hosting this watch-along here on Sportscaster. Tune in. It's a blast. We have a real cool chat room, and you can hang out with us, especially those who don't want to order the pay-per-view. We get it. Times are tough. You know, you may have gotten Triller, and you feel like that's it for the month. All right, cool. We got you handled. We'll be doing play-by-play and color commentary throughout the fight. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, which means two prelim fights and the whole main card. That also includes Anthony Smith and Jimmy Crute and Chris Weidman versus Uriah Hall, along with the three title fights. Goes, what are you more excited about? You may have to think about this, or you might just blurt out the answer. Anthony Pettis versus Clay Collard, or Anthony Smith versus Jim Crute?
Anthony Pettis versus Clay Collard.
Yeah, okay, well, that's a good answer, and I'll tell you why. And no, I mean, not by – there wasn't right or wrong on your part. It's just what I was hoping to hear because, you know, when we promote ONE and Bellator and PFL and everything, I wonder if there's people that say, nah, dog, it's all about the UFC. Don't talk to me about anything else. But I'm like, hold on a second. This is the opening bout of the main card, the Crute and Smith fight, and I'm looking forward to it. But – by PFL signing Anthony Pettis, they just put a little spotlight on the promotion. I think we'll get people excited because Anthony Pettis has paid his dues and he's had successes. So him facing Clay Collard does kind of get me excited, and I would have to say the same thing. I'm more excited about that fight than the opening bout of the UFC pay-per-view, you know, which means the stock is starting to rise in some of the other promotions. Same thing with Davis and Nemkov. D. Yags versus Corey Anderson. That was a nice 1-2 punch for those guys. Even with Paul Daly leading things off, Bellator got me more excited than a few of the fights that were on ESPN on ABC. Or sorry, UFC on ESPN. So that's good. That means the other ones are having some success and they're pushing the UFC. When the UFC gets pushed, they find ways to up their game or purchase that promotion. But they haven't purchased a promotion in a long time, so we'll see. But I love it when the sport continuously grows because that means MMA Junkie's growing, and it also means that MMA Junkie Radio is growing. Mom's phone went off, and she – let me see, Mom. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. But you know what I really like is actually the matchup. You know, the guy that they put him up against, Clay Collard, he's got hands. He's got good hands. And Anthony Pettis – has got a good jiu-jitsu game as well, but he doesn't always use it. There's a good chance these two guys are going to stand in front of each other and just throw bombs. And to me, that's going to be exciting because they both have different styles, but they have good stand-up. So I like that matchup. And every fight, you got to think there's $1 million on the line at stake. Like the stakes are high in all of them, right? There's, of course, there's something at stake there with Crute and Smith, but not that much. We're going to forget about it soon.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So Let's start switching to the UFC. On the main card, they have the five fights that I mentioned. On the undercard, they have eight prelims, including Alex Oliveira versus Randy Brown, Dwight Grant versus Stefan Sekulak, Carl Roberson versus Brendan Allen. I'm really looking forward to that one. Tristan Colony versus Patrick Sabatini. And then there's a little dip in terms of star value. Dan Badgari versus Kevin Natividad, Kazula Vargas versus Rong Zhu, Quiling Iori versus Jeffrey Molina, Nan Liang versus Ariana Carmelosi. I mean, I can honestly tell you, I don't remember hearing of some of these names, but I'm telling you, overnight a star can be born, you know, especially if they can do something special and especially if they start to fight frequently, you know, they assist you in remembering their name. Oh, wait, he fought in 3 weeks. She fought 3 weeks ago and they're turning it around. Wow. And they got the bonus. Wow. And they had the call out, you know, so we'll see. It's up to them to make themselves memorable, I guess. But in the meantime, I'm mostly focused on the two fights on the prelims, included three fights, I should say, Roberson and Allen, the two prelims we're doing, and the main card. This is in no way an attempt to shit on the card. When you get three title fights, I think the UFC can go shut up with whatever else they give you. I'm good with the three title fights. I'm really looking forward to Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas. I wish the UFC would keep consistent whenever possible. And they've always said the higher weight class is always the main event. So in this case, we have the welterweights, which Usman versus Masvidal gets top billing, not just because how great of a champion Usman is, but because Masvidal is a big name too. He sells that pay-per-view. But what I mean is, I thought Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade would get the co-main event, but they decided to go with the other one. And you know what goes? I kind of get it. Rose is a big name. Zhang Weili is coming off the fight of the year. And I know Shevchenko is a destructive force and super exciting, but she's almost too good for her own britches, I guess. Jessica Andrade is a former champ. She's a former bantamweight, strawweight, and now a current flyweight. So she deserves to be there, but I was really hoping it'd be the other way around. But I guess my heart's not broken on this one.
You can't lose either way. I mean, there are arguments on both sides. You know, I think if I had to guess why they did it, I think normally Valentina Shevchenko is pretty dominant in her fights. They're not as competitive, but in this case, I feel like Jessica Andrade is a game opponent. Mm-hmm. And I think Valentina is still trying to figure things out a little bit since coming back from injury. Mm-hmm. Last fight wasn't, I mean, she was still dominant, but it wasn't on the level of what Valentina normally does. So I think she's still trying to figure things out.
Maya had that round where she got the takedown mm-hmm. in the top position. And we were like, oh, shit, could this be the night? You know, could this be the night that a champion has the potential to lose? And Valentina immediately adjusted. And then, you know, took off from there. But credit to Maya for, you know, applying some of what they worked on there. And see, that's something I think Jessica Andrade can replicate. Jessica has the ability to get fights to the ground. Of course, she has formidable hands. So we'll see. That said, I still expect Shevchenko to keep the fight on her feet. And on her feet, there's just seems to be no match other than Amanda Nunes.
I'm curious. You know, we always talk about Rose Namajunas and some of the things that, you know, the mental game that she has. And I'm curious what that's going to be like to see Jessica Andrade in the building. Just, I don't know. I feel like anytime if I were to walk in front of an ex-girlfriend or something like that, no matter how long ago it was, you're probably going to get my attention for a little bit. What you doing? What's going on over there? That sort of thing. And that's how I feel like maybe just seeing that and remembering what happened in one of those fights. Like, I don't know. I think that's something I hope she's really focused on Wang Zhili because that's going to be a really, really tough matchup for both of them. I feel like Rose has so many paths to victory. Have you seen the odds, by the way?
I can pull them up really quick.
I think Rose has so many paths to victory in that fight. The only thing that keeps me from really betting it is just that mental side. I don't know what's going on. You know, the comments, I don't know what people have been getting on her behind closed doors or what, how the effect that has. I'm just convinced that those two fights are going to be a lot of fun. I think Valentina's fight's going to be very strategic, and I think Rose's fight has the potential to kind of be like what Zhang Weili and Joanna's fight was. Five rounds and a lot of adjustments being made. I could see that happening as well. And then the main event, I'm just hoping it surprises us. I really do, because the first one was pretty dominant for Usman, but everything's different about this fight.
Kamaru Usman's minus 430. Jorge Masvidal's plus 345. I think those should be a lot closer. Zhang Weili is minus 200. Rose Namajunas plus 170. And Valentina Shevchenko minus 425. Jessica Andrade plus 340. If you're curious about Weidman and Yehal, it's almost a coin flip. Weidman, a slight favorite at minus 130. Uriah Hall at plus 110. And Jimmy Crute minus 200 versus Anthony Smith plus 170. God, if Anthony Smith could fight how he fought in round one against Glover Teixeira, he looked amazing. But that's quite a pace. You need a lot of cardio for that. But when he's as crisp as he was in that fight, in that round, holy cow. Of course, Glover came back and won the fight. But I remember thinking, man, you know, more of that, Anthony. But, you know, that is a high pace. So, anyway.
He's one of those fighters that's on my list of fighters that I just won't bet because they always sting me. I'm always on the wrong side of it.
Anthony Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of how I am with Luis Pena. By the way, if you're curious about Pettis and Collard, Pettis minus 590, Collard plus 420. All right, folks, our guest is ready to go. We'll be right back with UFC featherweight Calvin Kattar. Always great to catch up with the Boston finisher, Calvin Kattar, in the house. What's going on, Calvin? How are you?
Hey, good, gentlemen. How you been? All right?
Yeah, I've been all right. Nice couch you got there, man. Is that where you chill a lot? Is that where you do your Netflix and chill, watch sports, Celtics, all that?
Well, I was going to take this phone call in the bedroom, so I figured out here be a little bit better. But, yeah, it's all right. I mean, it does the job.
Yeah. Hey, man, I can only do so much. I give you a hard time when the Lakers take out the Celtics. Last time the Celtics beat the Lakers, I just teed you up by bringing up the Celtics. You had a perfect chance to hammer us, and you focused more on the couch.
Yeah, well, I try to take it easy on you guys, man. You know, after a while, you know, all we do out here in New England, it's after a while, it's just, you know, it's like beating somebody when they're already down.
That's a trivia question for me.
What's
who
that?
Who won the last baseball championship? What city? Oh, forget about that one. Who won the last NBA championship? What city?
Damn, Dodgers and LA, huh?
Could there be a new city of champions in the house?
Oh, wow, man. That's impressive. Listen, it's just because the weather out here, people got to struggle to win championships. We got to put up with New England weather, all right? So it's earned championships. Out there, you guys all team up, huddle up, and take the easy route. Winning with all-stars.
All right, fair enough. Listen, before
we take pay cuts out here to win championships.
Before we focus on CK, tell me about Rob Font. That's your boy. Right now he's on a run. He took a back seat when you were on your run. And now that you're, you know, not signed to a fight, not in the camp.
Now on the couch.
how are things with him, and how proud are you of your boy and the run he's on?
Yeah, man, I couldn't be more proud for the kid. You know, it's nice to see the UFC, you know, give him the respect he deserves right now. The nice main event against, you know, tough opponent Cody Garbrandt.
Yep.
But, you know, he couldn't be more than ready. Somehow he found a way to get better through an injury. He came in the gym and he's just better than ever. And it's impressive, man. It's motivating for me, someone that's taken time off the last couple months, you know, to come back. See the way he hit the ground running, and I plan to do the same. It's nice the relationship we got where, you know, someone's always kind of active and competing, pulling the other guy back, keeping him in the gym. You know, generally when otherwise, you know, you might be getting in your own head being out of the gym. It's nice to have something to focus on. And right now, the whole New England cartel is all Team Font, and we're all excited.
And so as we slowly migrate towards talking about you, can't – have you been cleared? Can you give him a look? I think you'd be a perfect Cody Garbrandt for him to spar with as he prepares for Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, me and Rob have been sparred too crazy in a long time. We have different sparring partners. We don't really like to beat on each other too much. We save that for the other guys. But I am cleared to get back to work. I'm probably not going to be sparring for a little while. I just don't – like, even prior, I had a very busy 2020. Maybe not so much – you know, fighting-wise, I had two fights, maybe that third and then January, if you want to count it. But it was, you know, we were scheduled to fight March 7th, April, and then we turned to May. So, and then I had just come off November, and prior to that was Lamas. So, and I like to be, you know, working. If I'm not working, I don't feel like I'm myself. So it's just finding that right balance. And right now, you know, just trying to improve, learn. I don't need the sparring to pick up my fight IQ, you know, just trying to pick up my fight IQ and stick with the sport specific stuff, get in the roles. And even though you don't see it in the fights, I work that shit in the gym.
You know, George and I are in a very weird situation because we just had our 14th year of doing the show. We've been doing it a long time.
That's awesome.
Thank you. And throughout that time, you know, we interview guys quite a few times. You know, fighters fight a lot in their career. And so we want the sport to continue. We want it to grow. And so when we had your coach on, Tyson, and he kind of laid out what his plan was for you and the time off and why, it was so different, that perspective of, because George and I aren't the guys that say, get him right back in there. Can't wait to see him fight someone else. Like, we want you guys to have long careers. We want you guys to not only have good lives during your careers, but even after. You know, we cheer for you guys. So to hear that perspective of the way that you guys are handling things, and I've seen this with a few camps, but especially with yours, you guys take things as a family, and I love that. Can you talk about that conversation as a team when you guys decided the route that Calvin Kattar was going to take for the next couple months? Because obviously it keeps you out of the cage, but it keeps you healthy, and you get better along the way.
Yeah, it's tough to dial back. I mean, it's one of the hardest things to do. It's not so much hard to rev it up, but it's tough to dial back. But you got to listen to your body. And I've been long overdue to trying to get some kind of rebound. But, you know, yeah, credit to, you know, the team. Like you said, it's a family. And I think our biggest attribute is that, you know, we care. And so we're putting in the work. And Tyson got a lot of slack for that last one. Honestly, I pretty much – it is what it is, man. You know, sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail, and it happens when you're fighting the best guys in the world. But for him, you know, he takes it a little bit harder. People are questioning him for not throwing in the towel. But if he threw that in, you know, maybe he would have more problems with me. So who knows how that works. But I'm just happy to be back. I'm in a good groove now. I feel healthy. I feel strong, except for when I go at Rob because he's on another level right now. But I'm just excited, man. Full steam ahead. May 22nd, main event, long overdue. Rob Font's number 3 in the world. I'm number 6 right now. It's a great time, man, for both of us and for, you know, just staying the course, trusting the process, keeping our head down, putting in the work, and now we have these big opportunities in front of us.
You know, Rob, I understand Tyson. Those guys put so much into it. And it's not like the NFL where these guys are making millions of dollars, right?
Which the way I say it, I'm sorry to interrupt. The way I say it, we get paid what the NFL guys get fined.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy.
But a situation like that with fighters in that division where it's stacked, at the end of the day, when the night's over, don't you kind of feel like you're probably going to see them further down the line anyway? At some point, you'll probably have that opportunity again.
The guys we compete against, like a match, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That gives me the drive. If I don't get what I'm after the first time, I have the type of mindset and a personality to back it up where I get more motivated the second time. You know, it's like I get more motivated when I get set back. So either way, you know, it's always forward. I always fall forward. And I look forward to a round 6 with Max, man. He did what he had to do in the first 5. Hell of a fight. Credit to him. And I can't wait for another opportunity to get a crack at that one.
Guys that you've fought before in the past, like say a Dan Ige, you seem to have this respect for every guy that you've fought. Well, do you become like friendly with them? Do you kind of cheer for them afterwards?
I do most of them, man. Not all of them, especially certain ones, you know, but for the most part, man, yeah, you get my respect after you step in there with me, and a lot of them have it going in, but on fight night, I try to get rid of that, you know, because sometimes you end up, I just always remember that George St. Pierre, Matt Hughes fight when George respected him a little too much, and but, you know, he's clearly the better athlete, better fighter, and he came in and won the next ones, you know, but I try not to go in already defeated. But of course, these guys are the best guys in the world, man. Toughest guys in the world. It's never going to be an easy day, although it's a plus when you can. The bonus is leaving there healthy, you know, and every time you step in there. But as much as I envision the guys I lost to getting a crack at them again, you know, there's guys like Dan Ige, Shane Burgos, you know, ultra tough guys that I know are gunning for me one day. And I know we're cool right now in my mindset, but, you know, I know that for them, they're probably gunning for that one back, too. And I respect it. I get it. I'm in the same boat. It's what we do. And, you know, if that day should come and I have to face one of them, so be it. But I'm trying to beat the guys that beat me. You know what I mean? Those are the ones I want first.
You said you don't cheer for them all, but you kind of held back. Is there any you can share? Like,
I mean, honestly, it's not like a thing, man. It's right. Just, you know, because I don't really care at this point. I don't think anybody does. But so I was talking about the Jeremy fight. I just didn't like the whole way he approached it. And really not to go back there and dwell on it. I know I kind of give him a lot of smack. It's really not that big of a deal. But just the way it went down, 5 pounds overweight, first on the scale. All those things kind of bothered me. And then, of course, you kind of pay attention to the guys you fought when they fight again. And seeing the way that thing went down, I kind of get it, but come on, man, save it for the next day. Take the fight. You're about to fight him in one day. You know, you can't just.
I understand.
That being said, if I hit that line, right, and it depends where that line was. I think it was kind of a mutual line, but I step right to that line, and if a guy comes over that line, crosses that line, I'll send him across, you know, where he came from. I don't mind doing that, but as far as getting up to that line and squaring off your opponent, you know, I get right to that line and I don't overexceed it a lot of times. I don't try to, I save the fight for the next day, you know, but I just don't like all that pre-fight crap. A lot of guys talk a lot of smack and I guess it is what it is, man. Who cares?
Yeah. Is there an actual line or is it a proverbial line? Because I don't even know. I don't even know if the UFC's ever drawn a line and said, hey, you know, come on, guys.
Yeah, they get a tape line. A lot of times it's a line of tape. So, like, I step right to that line. But if a guy steps across that line, I'm going to send him back. Like, a lot of times, I don't know. I have a different side. I try to keep it very respectful. And, you know, but.
I love a good push, Calvin. I really love a good push. I don't want to see a fist.
Yeah, no.
I want to see the fight the next day. But I've always felt like that push. I used to say this before you guys were on ESPN. I used to say that push will get them on ESPN, and then the casual fan gets excited. You guys are already on ESPN, but it just got me pumped up. But then after seeing what happened and knowing that, geez, the whiplash can come from just a push, and now the fight's ruined, I'm like, ah, you know, maybe the face-to-face is good enough or whatever, but it's been pretty interesting. I've been trying to figure out. I've seen Dana get mad at Sean, and I'm thinking, should you really get mad at Sean? Like, I've still been trying to unpack with you what went wrong there, but
100%.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the fight didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, man, right? There's a fine line where you sell the fight and then cross the line, and I mean, we're fighters, man. I guess it happens more than you would think, right? It's pretty normal and probably what we do, but.
Yeah. Did you ever see when Diego got pushed by Koscheck? I think it was UFC 68 or 69, and he almost fell off a stage. It reminded me of that, and that's almost 200 UFCs ago. But did you ever see that one?
I don't remember that, but I would have liked to might have to rewatch that one. I wouldn't mind watching Diego get pushed.
Yeah. All right.
I already said something about after my last fight. I don't even know, man. These guys come out of the woodworks after, right? And it's not like, I mean, they all want to ride on a Max Holloway coattail. I mean, maybe, I don't know. These guys, I don't know. It is what it is. But like you said, man, my main focus is just on, I try to keep my focus on the things I can control. And that's just getting Rob Font, you know, being there as a teammate for Rob Font as best I can for his next fight coming up. And I'm hopeful for, you know, sometime before year's end, 100% getting back in there.
Yeah.
And I'm excited, man. Try not to get lost in these headlines too much.
Yeah, no, I feel you there. And so let's finish up with that. We know that Ortega and Volkanovski got a coaching gig first. You know, Volkanovski obviously had a really hard bout with coronavirus. Seems to be good now. They're going to coach, so they'll fight later in the year. Max, believe it or not, probably earned a shot at Volkanovski again. And I say believe it or not because it wasn't the performance. It's just that usually when you lose to somebody twice, especially in title fights, it's really difficult to get that third shot. But apparently he may get that. And then, of course, the other guys out there, Yair, Zaid, Zabi, yourself, you know, the Korean Zombie, whoever else you want to throw in the mix, everybody else is kind of like that pack chasing those three. Yeah. Where do you feel like who do you think might make sense towards the end of the year if you can focus that far? Would you prefer the fresher matchup, run it back with someone else? You're not worried about it? What do you think?
I'd like to fight up, but if, you know, ideally, if we could fight up, that'd be great. If not, I don't care. I'll probably be in that Max situation where he's coming off two L's. I'm kind of warm, but I feel like I'll be fighting a up-and-comer, you know, tough prospect. Or who really knows how it shakes out, man? This sport's crazy like that, right?
Who's that guy?
Yeah, this is just one of the cats. It's chilling, man. You want to talk about an athlete? This thing's crazy. It's a killer. It'll catch flies out of the air. It jumps like five, at least 8 feet in the air. It's crazy. These cats are incredible. But
what's the name?
There's two of them. So one of them's Bella and one of them's Abigail. But I call him Kit and Kat, Kit Kat.
One of the longest tails I've ever seen. Jesus, that's a tail. Yeah, man.
But as far as who I'm fighting, man, I really don't care. Like my teammate Ruffon, he always says he never fought one person he's been scheduled to fight. So at the end of the day, who do you really care who you're scheduled to fight? It comes down to who you're going to fight, how it's going to play out, how it shakes. And I can't control all that. So just trying to be as ready as I can. I know the next person's going to be tough. You know, whether it's coming off an L or a W is irrelevant. But I like to fight a guy off a win, maybe up if I could. But we'll see, man. I know I just dropped that last one. So I'm just ready to go in and earn me another W and show why I belong in that upper echelon of guys that you're mentioning.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this is my final question. Coming off a loss like that, did it shake your confidence at all? Or have you been able to watch the fight and go, okay, I did this wrong, but I can fix that. And I got something for Ortega and Volkanovski and Holloway, who a lot of fans and media will probably go, man, those guys might be a level ahead of the other guys. And that might be a fair statement or not, depending on how you interpret it, you know? So what are your thoughts on that? How's your confidence and everything?
My confidence is right where it was, man. I mean, it is what it is. I wanted to get right back in after the fight. I know I look like shit, but I had the fight still in me, you know. And I know I'm built different than these guys, man. Nothing was proven to me other than, you know, what you guys saw. You guys saw how bad I want it, what I'm willing to do for it. You know, you guys learned that day. I didn't. But as far as the confidence-wise, I'm ready for round six with Max Holloway. Nothing breaks my confidence in that aspect. The way I try to break it down is like, do you think Kansas City wasn't ready for the Super Bowl because they got blown out by Tom Brady and the Bucks? You know, it's just sometimes, you know, little mistakes can happen. And under main event, a caliber fighter like Max Holloway gets magnified, you know? So we're just getting back to the drawing board, fixing the mistakes and coming in correct next time we step in there against whoever that is. And it's still coming for the top. Look at Ortega. He got smoked by Holloway, and everyone was writing him off. And even though he had a long layoff period dealing with injuries and things, give him the benefit of the doubt on that, being inactive. But coming back, he had a strong performance, and now he's fighting for the belt. So, you know, this isn't boxing. This is MMA. Very rarely do you have a guy like Khabib and things like that going undefeated. And this part of the game, man, and I don't preach that mental toughness talk only when things are, you know, rosy and shiny. I do it when it's dirty, when it's ugly, when it's hard to do, and that's when it matters the most.
Perfectly said. All right, Calvin. Thanks so much for the catch-up here. It was great to talk to you. It's been a few months, but you do seem to be in good spirits. We look forward to your next fight sometime here in 2021. And maybe we'll see you soon when Rob throws down in his big fight that's coming up as well. So take care and good talking to you.
Thank you. I'm with it. Let's go, Rob Font, May 22nd. And congrats on 14 years, gentlemen. That's awesome.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. All right. Take care.
Take it easy, guys.
All right, folks. There you have it. One of the best in the business, Calvin Kattar. Good booking by the Goes. Goes, I actually made it. I actually got a little signal here that the internet's going to go off in a few minutes. So I think we can end the show pretty soon here without the whole disconnect. So let me do a quick reminder here. UFC 261 watch along on Saturday. You all right, Goes? Oh, on Saturday, Goes and I will be hosting the watch along here on Sportscaster, sportscaster.com/MMA junkie. I say it out loud. I know a lot of the sportscaster people were like, oh, yeah, I'm here. You don't have to repeat it. But we also have an audience that consumes this show via a podcast. And sometimes they need to be reminded that they could come over to Sportscaster and watch the show live. Or if they want to watch one of their favorite guests come on, like we just had Calvin Kattar on. On Monday, we had comedian Joey Diaz. Can't remind you enough times, sportscaster.com/MMA junkie. And so that's where we'll be on Saturday for the UFC 261 watch along, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, two prelims, and the main card, which includes three title fights: Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas, Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade, Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal, along with some pivotal fights in the light heavyweight division: Anthony Smith versus Jimmy Crute, and we also have Uriah Hall versus Chris Weidman in the middleweight division. So all in all, a fun night of fights. There's old Max.
Want to peek behind the curtain what was actually happening?
What was happening?
So Max was tripping, which I thought he had to use the restroom. Normally what we do on the show is in our little private chat, I would type Max. But I didn't want to do that because then I thought Calvin would see it and think I'm trying to tee him up for a Max question or something. So that's why I had to pick him up, bring him over here. Luckily, he had his cat, so it kind of worked out. But old Max has been running around in here.
Yeah. All right, I got to get off, Goes, so let's end the show. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you all on Saturday for our UFC 261 watch-along. Take care of yourselves. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week for the best coverage of mixed martial arts. Go out there and be a champion.